All right, welcome back. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and former Texan O-lineman Wade Smith in for Clint Starner and the show today. Number one for the Big Three at three. Nine more players in the NBA have tested positive for COVID-19. That brings the total now, Wade, to 25. The nine positive tests found between June 24th and the 29th. That brings the total to 25 out of a pool of 351 that have been tested since June 23rd. 16 players tested positive last week. The NBA also said 10 of 884 team staff members who were tested were positive for the coronavirus.
Not surprising. I mean, you look at those numbers by themselves, I think it's somewhere around like 7-8% positive rate, which is relatively low. You're glad that it's not something number like 20-something percent of people or anything higher than that. So it's manageable number. They're going to have to figure out ways once they get those guys cleared and in the bubble to keep that number down to zero. And if you can keep that number down to zero, now you can actually function inside of that bubble and things are like normal. Because if that's a great thing about a bubble. If you're in a bubble and nobody has it, you don't have to worry about catching it. Then you can act like a normal person.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about wearing masks and being 15 feet apart and all that type of stuff. That's why I'm glad that the NBA went to the idea of doing a bubble. Because once you get that bubble, you know everybody in there is good. But now you have to police and you have to trust people to not break that bubble
and ruin anything.
And that's the thing that everybody, that's the million-dollar question.
That goes back to the question I asked similarly with the NFL and how they would police, you know, how stringent would they be potentially on fans in attendance of those games. I mean, you're going to have a lot of people, most people that follow the rules and do what they need to do because they're legitimately worried about their own safety, their family's safety. They also want to enjoy a game, but then there's other people that are reckless and careless, and they're going to think, it's not going to happen to me without thinking of the other person.
Right.
Just one last question for you on this one. What is your confidence level right now in the NBA for that reboot actually happening? Because I mentioned this earlier, they're still a week out of training camps getting underway. They're going to have training camp July 9th through the 29th season to resume with 22 teams on July 30th. So your confidence level with a week still out and the numbers still spiking, can it get to a point in the NBA to where the numbers are just not manageable and they just say, we're going to scrap this whole thing?
I tell you what, man, my confidence level is very high, and it's because they're going into a bubble. Because the people that are entering the bubble, they can trace and know that once they enter the bubble, they don't have it. And they've been cleared of having it before they enter the bubble. And the fact of the matter is that LeBron James and all the superstars of the league want to play. They're going to play. You know what I mean? Now, what happens, you know, halfway through the season or the first four games or in the middle of the playoffs and all of a sudden there's a bunch of cases that break out? Will they shut it down? I could see that happening. But as far as them starting it, I'm very, 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 very high on that. I expect them to start the season and hopefully they can finish it.
Big 3-3, number two.
Texas A&M football on one-year probation and their head coach Jimbo Fisher getting a six-month show cause. Thank you, Bridget Falcone. She is a alumnus of the Texas A&M University. A football program placed on that one-year probation and Fisher given that six-month show cause after he and the program were found to have violated NCAA recruiting and athletic-related activity rules. The findings released earlier today stemmed from violations dating between January of 2018 and February of 2019. According to the NCAA, Fisher, quote, failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance, so specific, and, quote, did not demonstrate that he monitored his staff. That's what we typically hear around these things. Now, Bridget,
Wait a minute. He did not demonstrate that he monitored his staff. So basically they're mad because he didn't show his work.
Yeah, I guess.
Didn't you hate that when you were in school when you had to show your work on an assignment?
When I already knew the answer to a math problem and I just put it in or circled the answer.
Yeah. I mean, this seems like it's very, very much ado about nothing. I think Bridget has something to say about it.
You know, gentlemen, I am so happy that you guys agree. This is nothing but clickbait. The NCAA reminds me of a battered woman, still bringing up things from 2 years ago. first of all, the reasons that the two offenses, which NCAA sanctions should be taken, you know, very seriously. There are rules in place for a reason. But the two things we did wrong, we're going to see a recruit in high school outside of the contact period. Okay, whoops, sorry. Jimbo just happened to see him. He actually didn't even commit to A&M. Whatever. We didn't need help in the linebacker position anyway. Whatever. And also 7 hours of extra practice during spring training. Okay, well, I actually worked for a company called Texags at A&M, so we covered all Texas A&M sports. The reason those 7 hours were on top is because the players felt it necessary to come in and stretch early. So those 7 hours were accumulated because players were feeling the need to come in and stretch early. I am so sorry, NCAA, that you have nothing else to focus on right now, but I've got a long list of things that are probably more pressing than this. Bridget out.
Bridget out. I think there's some really good points there, and maybe, because you have to put the pieces together when you hear things like this, you know, maybe that's the accusation by the NCAA to Jimbo Fisher, failure to monitor your staff. Like, yeah, the players wanted to come in and stretch early, get some of that work in, and the staff was just like, I'm not going to kick you out. You know, I mean, hell, if you're looking to get some extra work, you're looking to be extra prepared, sure, go for it. I mean, what's Jimbo
going to do? Is that what we're teaching our children, our yeah. youth? Hey, don't over practice.
It's like, I want to go to tutorials at 7 o'clock in the morning. Damn it, if I want to go, let me go.
I tell you what, man, I'm glad I'm not the NCAA right now, and I'm glad I'm not on Bridget's bad side because they just got red. I mean, I tell you what, man, like if you send this audio to the NCAA, they might rethink that the consequences that they gave to the Texas A&M Aggies. But I tell you what. This, to me, seems like something that you do because you have nothing better to do. The NCAA has taken a lot of losses recently. They've taken a lot of losses. Now, you know, kids have the ability to use their name and likenesses to generate funds. That's something that NCAA has been fighting tooth and nail for years. This is, I mean, it's 1 year probation, and it's for something that's very, very ticky-tack. There was not a situation where somebody bought a vehicle for a recruit. It's not a situation where there was rampant sexual misconduct going on at the university, and so they had sanctions come down. This seems like this is ticky tack. It's a slap on the wrist, and it's a slap on the wrist because there's really nothing to see there. So
yeah,
I'm surprised that this is something that the NCAA they spent. I mean, this happened in 2018. They spent 2.5 years
two and a half years
of trying to figure out. Oh, and this is what the conclusion is. 1 year probation and 6 months show cause.
Is that taxpayer money? Because I'm going to be real mad if it is.
Well, I was going to say, they spent our money to recoup $5,000, which is basically the fine levied on Texas A&M for this.
$5,000.
$5,000.
You picked the wrong university to charge that little bit of money to.
But Bridget, you know as well as I do, Wade, everybody else, this is more about the NCAA flexing their muscle and making an example of a top flight program. I mean, that's all that it is.
An interesting tidbit. So the actual guy who is in charge of NCAA, I can't think of his exact name. The NCAA guy that's in charge of actually continuing these
investigations.
He actually was the athletic director at FSU whenever Jimbo left for A&M. Isn't that peculiar? He couldn't keep Jimbo Fisher. Because he couldn't afford Jimbo Fisher, and A&M could, so Jimbo obviously left. So clearly he's holding some sort of grudge.
The malice here. The malice.
Grow up.
Golly. All right.
Grow up, Peter Pan.
Let's get to number three.
Big three at three. Number three.
May not be like the biggest of the big stories, but I think, you know, for the sake of mixing it up a little bit, I wanted to bring this up. Vanilla Ice. Screw the Rona. I'm still doing my thing. I'm going to perform in Texas. We're going to have this big event in the ATX, and we're going to do it. Come all, come one, everybody, let's go, let's jam out. July 4th weekend, baby. This weekend in Austin, Vanilla Ice doing his thing, says screw the Rona. I don't know if any protocol's being followed. I just think Vanilla Ice is like, you know, look, at this point in time, like with clickbait, you try to find your windows of opportunity.
Yeah.
And for people that might have forgotten that Vanilla Ice actually exists and makes music, this is perfect.
I tell you what, I would be surprised. I'd be interested to see like what demographic of people would show up to watch Vanilla Ice in the midst of a pandemic. on 4th of July. I mean, would you go? You would go see Vanilla Ice. How old are you, Sean?
If I did not, I'm 37. I'll be 38 in October.
Can't wait.
If I did not have a 2-month-old baby at home, bro,
I feel like
I'd be there.
I feel like there would be no one there under the age of 35. I mean, Bridget, would you go see Vanilla Ice?
I would totally go. I would go. That's
I could
cool.
see that.
I mean, Vanilla Ice was a thing back when we were growing up.
We're
Sean.
Just so yes. thirsty for but entertainment.
Vanilla Ice, though, man. Come on now.
There's going to be other people there, and I can't remember the other artists.
He's the head. If Vanilla Ice is the headliner, that tells you where you are when you come on with the quality of talent you're going to have at this concert.
Color Me Bad's going to be there, too.
They don't sing.
I'm just saying, he's going to be there.
Color Me Bad.
Who?
Oh, you don't know who Color Me Bad is?
No.
They're the same level as Vanilla Ice.
This is why you need to go. I mean, this is like the
90s. Talent-wise, at least.
By the way, look, the reason why ultimately I would go is, look, I kicked myself for not seeing Vanilla Ice when he was in Houston like a couple
years
back.
Yeah, he was here at the Texans game.
Okay, yeah, he was at the Texans game, but he also had a concert at, like, I can't remember the venue. It was either the Meridian or Warehouse Live. And I had to work an Astros game that night. And I really thought about skipping out on the Astros game, going to Vanilla Ice, then going to the clubhouse and get my interviews after the fact. And I chose to be a good boy and not do that.
Priorities.
You know,
you decided to be a professional.
Decided to be a professional, yeah. And I just remember, like, driving home that night, and I passed by that venue, and, it, you know, on the big marquee, it said Vanilla Ice. And I'm like, God, I'm never going to get another opportunity. But if I didn't have a 2-month-old, I would totally be there. He dropped this quote, this post on Instagram a couple of days ago. And he's not wrong, by the way. And this is sentimentally why I would go. He said the 90s were the best. We didn't have coronavirus or cell phones or computers. We had 5.0s, Blockbuster, Beavis and Butthead, Wayne's World, Chris Tucker, and Jackie Chan. Mortal Kombat is still better than Fortnite, the last of the great decades. He's like,
he ain't wrong.
He's wrong.
I mean,
he's right.
He made a lot of great points there. I mean, growing up in the 90s, and I'm an 80s baby, born in 81, but I got to experience all of the 80s
yeah.
and the 90s.
Yes.
But the 90s was a great decade, and all of the stuff he listed, I was a fan of all of those.
Like the years in which you and I were like considered conscious human beings,
yeah.
like we got to enjoy the 90s. Like
yeah.
very little of the 80s do I remember, you know?
I remember a lot of the 80s because I had an older sister, so I had to watch all of the 16 Candles and Karate Kid, all of those 80s
yeah,
movies,
yeah.
the Brat Pack, St. Elmo's Fire and all
yeah.
those type of stuff. Like, I saw all that stuff because I had an older sister. She was born in 75, so the 80s was right in her wheelhouse.
Isn't that
one
weird?
TV in the room. I got to watch what she wants to watch.
You got just bamboozled and, like, force-fed, like, 80s stuff.
No question.
But when I was growing up, like, I was still watching, like, Beverly Hillbillies reruns and just any black and white. Like, I Love Lucy.
You have to watch I Love Lucy and MASH.
MASH.
I mean, these are great television shows.
You name them. I watched them
yeah.
over and over and over again.
Great shows to go to sleep to before you had to get up and go to school in the morning. And watch Woody Woodpecker before you go to school
Woody
in the morning.
Woody Woodpecker.
That was the show to watch before you got, when you're getting ready
Tom
for school.
Tom and Jerry, yeah.
Turn on Tom and Jerry and Woody Woodpecker. You know anything about that, Bridget?
Yeah, I know Tom and Jerry.
I was ready for who?
Woody Woodpecker.
Who?
Yeah. What? You don't know Woody Woodpecker?
Not really.
Oh, my God. All right.
Somebody whenever we come back, somebody give an impersonation.
I'll do it.
Yeah, right. I will not.
I'll see if I can work that one up
for
you.
I will right. abstain.
Bridget Falcone producing. Sean Bajani Waitsmith in for Clint Sterner and the show. Coming up next, the Rockets are set to bring back a difference maker and can't wait to see what you guys think about this. Austin Rivers making waves with some of his recent comments. We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 6. Welcome back in. Good afternoon, everybody. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner and the show this afternoon. Glad you're joining us. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. Bridget Falcone producing. Just wrapped up our big three at 3, and I wanted to get to this. This was one of the things I prefaced the show with. I'm excited. You know how we just got done talking about like how I reminisce about the 90s and things like that. I'm a little sentimental, right?
Yeah.
One of my favorite Rockets in the last 5 years could be coming back.
Ah.
And I think it's huge. If the Rockets and this guy can get this deal done, I mean, we remember, what was it, the 2017-2018 season, that year where, man, you felt like that was the Rockets' year, man. They could do this thing over the Golden State Warriors. Well, Luke Bamute was a big part of that.
He was.
And I think he would have been, I hesitate to say the difference maker, outside of just a difference maker. But, I mean, man, I remember watching the games, and eyes don't lie. That dude, if he would have been healthy, I really do think he helps propel the Rockets beyond the Warriors and to the finals, and then you never know.
Yeah, the Rockets were a shoulder and a hamstring away, man. And if you had those things healthy, they had the Warriors right where they wanted them, and they could have finished the job. And I fully believe that the Rockets would have went on and won the championship that year, but it didn't happen. But of course, since Thabo Sefolosha is opting out of playing in the bubble for the season, so they ought to find somebody to kind of replace that role in. And Luke is the guy that can do that. You get a healthy version of Luke, you're good there. You don't lose anything, and I think he's actually a better version of Thabo than what he was. And so
100%.
The Rockets yesterday, you were thinking, oh, okay, they got a little bit worse, but now you're saying, hey, they just got a little bit better. And so that's what you want to see out of the Rockets going into this playoff run that they have coming up in a few weeks. That, hey, can you get the team better and get them to a point to where they can compete with the big boys? And I was talking about this yesterday with Trapp. I was like, listen, the Rockets, to me, they're either going to lose in the first round or they're going to win the championship. It's going to be feast or famine.
Really?
I just feel the way that they have things set up, the small ball lineup, it's kind of gimmicky. But that gimmicky style of play can take them a long way, or it can cost them early and get them up out of there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I was thinking, like, okay, they're operating a status quo. Like, everybody's involved, right?
Yeah.
It's only 22 teams.
Yeah.
And so when you say, like, they could lose in the first round or win the NBA Finals, I can roll with you about them, you know, with it being strong enough to win the NBA Finals, but losing in the first round, and it's like, well, with a reboot and things like that.
They can lose in the first round if they get a 7 seed and they have to play the Clippers. That can happen.
Exactly. With the way, as tight as it is, the way things shape out potentially. Yeah, it could be that way. But, I mean, on the way in here, I was thinking about, man, we're going to talk some Rockets, and this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. And I don't know a lot of people's opinions on this team and how it's going to look and how things were before. But, man, I just remember my renewed confidence as the season was going on that I had in Russell Westbrook and in James Harden together on the floor. And you hear now that there's no basketball being played. What a dog Russell Westbrook is. What a competitor that dude is. Yeah. Like, that is a never say die kind of dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got James Harden, who the last 3-4 years has been otherworldly with how he's evolved his game and how it's constantly changing, and now how he's evolved his body with his 3-month break. Man, I'm excited to see these dudes on the floor together again. You're seeing these training videos out there on Twitter. You know, both of those guys getting it in the weight room, and they're ready to go. Basketball talent's there.
Yeah.
It's about who is the most prepared with their bodies right now and who can strike while the iron's hot. While everybody else maybe has their guard down and they're preoccupied thinking about this. This is why I don't crap on Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets for talking, we should win the championship this year. You know what? If you're GM, and look, I know Mike D'Antoni hadn't been as bold in saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he's got to be a little bit more tempered and even keel. But if your GM who constructs the team isn't saying and talking like that, then you got the wrong dude. And that's what makes Daryl Morey great, is because he does believe that. He does talk like that.
Yeah, he talks like that, but it's going to be up to the guys to make it come to fruition. And so now you're going to have to see, can you get Russell Westbrook to continue to not take bad shots? Because like you were talking about before the break, he went on a period there a couple of weeks in a row where he was taking good shots. He stopped taking those 3-pointers.
Yeah.
He was getting to the rack and taking mid-range jumpers. And if he plays that style of game,
they flourished.
They flourished. The problem is that he was playing that style, but then when they went to the complete small ball lineup, they started off looking very, very good. They beat some really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
But then towards the end of the break, the Rockets looked like garbage. They were not anywhere near playing anywhere near a level to be competing with the big boys. And you saw a first-round defeat coming with them. The break hit them, I think, better than anybody. And I think it's going to benefit them more than anybody, because now you get Eric Gordon coming back full strength. He's going to be a guy that's going to make a huge difference, because when he plays well, the team plays well. And when he's healthy, he plays well.
Yeah.
And so that's that. You got him coming back, and now you got Luke coming back on the roster, who's a better player than Thabo. Now it's starting to make sense to me. And so how quickly can those guys gel and get back going and get rolling to where they can put themselves to where they're not a seven seed? They can get up into the fourth seed, maybe the third seed, whatever it may be. If they can go out there and do that, to me, they're going to go on a run and win a championship. And it's everything that would be against them, they really don't have, not everything, but there's a lot of stuff that they don't have to deal with now because you're playing in a bubble. You don't have to go on a road to L.A. You don't have to go to L.A., period, and play critical ball games to win a championship.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a arena where there's like 12 people there, and you're just playing ball. And so, to me, that plays in the Rockets' favor.
It's interesting. It's, you know, it was documented in this The Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan, like one of the greatest games ever played that nobody saw.
Yeah.
You know, that practice game between those squads. And I think about the Rockets and the rest of the NBA kind of like this, in this bubble now. Like, if the players mentally and physically are right and they're ready to embark on this challenge, if they have the opportunity to do so, I still think there's that caveat. There's that qualifying statement that has to be made, because you don't know what the next week could bring with this virus and the numbers and things like that. But if it all goes off without a hitch, training camp, boom, done. Regular season resumes, playoffs, let's go.
Yeah.
Then I already felt like the Rockets had an opportunity to go to the finals this year just because of Russell Westbrook and the Harden combination. But now that you're bringing, kind of like the Lakers did with J.R. Smith, right, bringing him in, they've got the experience there. That's the one factor that they've cited, never mind Dwight Howard not being a part of the team going forward as he's opted to not play. But now you're bringing Luke Bamute back from the Rockets' standpoint, who's got a relationship with a lot of the staff. He understands what they're doing. He fits what they're doing perfectly, and he's healthy. Here's the thing. The Rockets were playing some poor basketball before this thing hit, but they were beat up, and they were bruised, and they a lot of good teams and a lot of bad teams, they hit that wall in that course of the season after 60-some-odd games where, man, we've got 20 more of these things left, and now it's time to buckle down, and we got to start playing our best ball. They were hurting.
Yeah.
You get this three-month break, and it's all of a sudden, like, no matter what you do with your body stylistically, philosophy-wise, on the court, like, it's just go time. I don't care if you want to give a future NBA champion the credit due or not. We're just going to ball.
Yeah.
And I think Luke Bamute helps them do that. I think James Harden and that Russell Westbrook combination helped them and give them the biggest advantage just out of anybody, including the Clippers, including the Lakers, because they've been battle-tested before as that group. They've gotten to that point and failed. That nucleus has. So that's why I'm giving the Rockets that slight advantage as well.
Well, I tell you what, when you look at James Harden, the way he's kind of reshaped his body, I think this quarantine has done him wonders, because he hasn't been able to do a lot of the things that might have potentially taken a little bit from his game. You're not able to be out in the streets kicking it as much. There's nothing to do, you know what I mean, except for work and get better. And you know that he's tired of hearing the detractors. He's tired of people saying that, you know, he's a hell of a player, but, you know, he's trying to eliminate that but to where he can win a championship. And so anytime you see somebody later in their career being able to work hard enough to where they get to the point where they're losing weight, that is a great sign that they really honed in and they're trying to get to that next level. And so that works in the Rockets' favor. The problem that the Rockets have is that the fact of the matter is they're going to have a hard time dealing with these bigs, some of the bigs in the Western Conference. And so their shots are going to have to be on for them to have a chance, and they're going to have to play hellified defense. And so that's two areas of their game that are fickle. They're inconsistent and they're some timey.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can get some consistent play out of their defense and consistently hitting shots, they'll beat anybody. But can they make that happen in this weird adaptation of what the NBA season is? Like, whoever wins the championship this year, you got to salute them and give them an extra helping, extra credit on their assignment if you win a championship this year, because there's so many roadblocks and obstacles in the road for you winning this championship. If you can pull it off, you got to salute them.
You just answered my question that I was going to ask you on the other side, but we'll get to it for the listeners as well that might not have heard Austin Rivers' take on the prospective 2020 NBA champion. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, which professional league has more to lose by not playing? We'll talk about it next at Sports Radio 610. And for Clint Sterner and the show this afternoon, Sean Bajani, that's me, and former Texans offensive lineman Wade Smith, that is him. Bridget Falcone producing, doing a great job. I asked Wade earlier, I was like, man, how long has Bridget been here? He says, man, for a while. And you and I have done a show together before at some point.
Yeah, it was like late.
Yeah, it was a late show. So my memory's not so terrible. I look in there, it's like, I know her. Today's not the first day that we've met. Hey, we're all trying to work through this thing together. I've been on the quarantine baby lockdown for the last 2+ months. And, I'm kind of excited about that. If there was ever a really good time to have a baby, it's now. If there was also ever a really bad time to have a baby, it's now, because you have to keep everybody away from your baby. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic that you have going there where you can be there with your kid every single day. You know what I mean? A lot of people are working from home,
yeah.
So they're getting opportunities to be around their family and around their kids. But at the same time, there's extended family and there's friends that you really have to stay away from, and they don't have opportunity to see and be there for the newborn. So it can get dicey there. But you do got to look at the silver lining in the situation and say, hey, I get the chance to be with my son,
yes,
day in and day out. And for that, you got to be thankful.
Trying to figure out how to be a dad, man. And yeah. Never
nothing
changed
like it, man. Nothing
never
like
changed a diaper before in my life, and now I'm a pro at it.
Wait a minute. You never changed a diaper before 3 months ago?
Never.
Two months ago?
Never. I've been pooped on, peed on, you name it, it's happened. And
you don't have any little brothers
or
sisters. I am
disgusted. No, I was an only child.
Only child, okay, makes sense.
And my wife would hate to hear this, but I'm trying to make Jake the only child too, because I don't know if I want to do this again.
I think it's more up to her than you.
Well, it's funny. You both of you guys say the same thing, but I contend, Wade, it takes two.
You can't win this argument. But go ahead. You can go ahead and try, but you can't
scientifically
win this argument.
I know it takes two.
Yeah.
Everything I've been taught, everything I've done, it takes two. Hey, before we move on, I just wanted to do some house cleaning. I told Bridget, I'd promised her this, about the Woody Woodpecker laugh that you wanted to hear a couple of segments ago, okay? So we're going to try to do this. All right, here you go.
Okay, I know that.
There you go.
That was okay. You?
No.
That wow, wasn't. So impressed.
No, that was Woody Woodpecker from like 1958. So there's that. Now we've educated Bridget on what exactly Woody the Woodpecker is.
Great cartoon.
It is a great cartoon. One I need to like actually try to watch again since I have all this free time. That's another dilemma, by the way. You know, I don't want my son to watch like these new crazy weird cartoons. You know, I don't know what half of this stuff is. Like, I have to try to find on demand like old school Tom and Jerry, Woody the Woodpecker, all that old Looney Tunes series stuff. I don't even know if it exists out there, or am I going to be Googling?
Dead. You can find everything. You go on YouTube, you can find any and everything that you grew up watching, old commercials, old cartoons, old everything, videos, like all that stuff.
I want them to see everything that I grew up with.
I mean, that's a good way to go about it. You know what I mean? There's certain shows that just are timeless and your kids will buy into and enjoy. But right now, your son's, what, 2.5, 3 months?
Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything about anything. So right now, you can just, you can put whatever you want to put on just to, whatever soothes them, to soothe him, to let him go to sleep at night or whatever it may
be. We've got that going on.
You got the little, is it like
I Googled.
Easy listening or whatever.
I found this 3 weeks ago because he was super fussy one night. So I Googled soothing baby music.
Yeah.
And the first thing that popped up, I pressed play, and it's been Money. Like I told you, man, he's been frequenting like 6. Last night it was 8 hours of straight sleep. Like, it's been Money. So I've been loving that.
Another thing you can do if that doesn't work, you can always pop the kid in the vehicle and drive around the neighborhood. That works like a charm. Anytime that you put your kid in the car seat and drive around, they go to sleep.
We haven't had to do that at night, but we've done it during the day. But every time I stop, he cries. It was funny. Like, we caught a flurry. We were in the village a few weeks back. We're in the village. And I hit had to slow down for speed bumps and stop signs and stop lights. And every time the car slowed, he was,
yeah. Yeah, it's the craziest.
It was
thing.
Hilarious, but it was nerve wracking at the same time. But
you got to find you a freeway and drive on it. Just ride around 610 or not Beltway. I don't want to say Beltway 8. That costs money. But ride around 610 at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They're charging for the Beltway again, right?
Yeah, there was a long period of time there that they weren't charging, but they back now, baby.
It's good to know.
Gotta get that bridge.
I haven't been out on the road very much the last 3 months. All right, let me get to this. Austin Rivers spoke with somebody from Turner Sports a couple of days ago, and the name of the reporter that he spoke to was Taylor Rooks, and she tweeted out his response, and this is what Austin Rivers had to say when asked whether or not this NBA champion this season should have an asterisk next to their name. Quote, "I think whoever wins should have an asterisk next to it." That's what Rivers said. He went on to say, but only for it being one of the toughest championships ever won. You're asking guys to take 3 to 4 months off, then come back and find chemistry, then play during a pandemic while players are fighting for the Black Lives Matter. There's a lot going on right now, crazy times and a lot of worry. And during these times, players are leaving their families to go live in a lockdown bubble. So for all of these reasons and more, I think it will be one of the more tougher championships ever won, only season ever like this, ever.
Yeah, I completely agree with him. There is no other scenario that you could try to create in a story that you were trying to write or a script that you were trying to write that would be this. And they're going to have to go into an environment that is completely foreign to them and play under circumstances that are completely foreign to them. No fans in the stands. That's a huge part of the energy and excitement that you play the game with. And so you're going to eliminate those things that you're used to playing with. I can't think of the only time guys play basketball without fans is when they're playing ball in 24-hour fitness or something like that. Like, yeah, you're not, that's the only time that you're playing competitively and there's no fans there. But when you're on this stage and the cameras are all rolling, but there's no fans there and you're not sleeping in your own bed at night, that's a different ball game. And so I give a lot of credit to whoever wins the championship this year. There should be an asterisk on it that says they went above and beyond. They were able to dodge Corona first and foremost, because if you have a superstar player on your team that catches the virus, you're done.
Yeah.
Basketball is one of those sports that you're superstar led and you're going to live and die by your superstars. If one of your superstars catches it, it's a wrap for your team. It's just like we talked about earlier that the Rockets lost Chris Paul, and that's the reason why they couldn't beat the Warriors, right? If somebody of that caliber for any team in the NBA goes out with the coronavirus, that team is done. You just might as well move on to the next one. And so you're going to have to dodge all of that. You're going to have to play under a weird-ass environment and then come out and win ball games. And so I have to give a lot of credit to whoever pulls it off.
You said that last segment, which is why I wanted to ask you about what Rivers said, because his comments are making some waves. You know, a lot of people do disagree with that, about it being the toughest. And I do think that whatever happens throughout the course of this season, or rather at the conclusion of it, there's going to be an asterisk next to it. But it's about, for people, what that asterisk means.
Yeah.
For Rivers, and I think certainly for those that are crowned champions, it will mean something extra special to them, because there was a number of hurdles and roadblocks that they had to go through to get to that point, something unforeseen that's never happened before. But I think for a lot of people, and maybe for media types and fans, it would be this way. They would look at it as, well, this was the coronavirus year, and they had an opportunity. You know, you would look at it from the total opposite end of the spectrum. Well, they had an opportunity to get healthy. They had an opportunity to transform their bodies. They had an opportunity to really put their heads together and build a team the way that they wanted to build a team. You know, i.e. the Lakers bringing in J.R. Smith and not having Dwight Howard there, you know, being able to fill a roster spot there. A few other teams are doing some similar things. The Rockets, you know, bringing back Luke Bamute, somebody that hadn't been there through the first 60-some-odd games before. And then from an injury standpoint, like I'd said, look, Eric Gordon was beat up and bruised, you know, for much of the season, and he's coming off of knee surgery, and he didn't look like himself before this COVID thing hit. He gets 3 months off, and now it's like, bam, Harden's transformed his body. Eric Gordon's knee's 100%. Russell Westbrook is training like never before, and you know, here we go. It's about the best of the best.
But see, all of those guys did it. Like, everybody was at home. Everybody was on under quarantine. Mm-hmm. Not everybody spent their time doing the same things that other people did. Some people took advantage of the time off, and some people did not. That's going to show itself when they get out there and start playing again. If you're telling me that you're going to hold it against a guy for losing 10, 15 pounds during a quarantine because he decided I'm going to focus on eating correctly and getting my sleep at night and working out harder and getting my running in to where I'm making myself an absolute weapon when I'm already considered one of the best players in the league.
But there will be those. There will be those.
I mean, but you can't please everybody. To mm-hmm. me, logically, I could see somebody reasonably saying, you know what, the asterisk for Major League Baseball is legitimate. And it's a negative asterisk as opposed to the NBA season, because the NBA, they played 60-something games already. So you're not going to get a fluke team getting into the playoffs. In Major League Baseball, there's a high probability that there's going to be one team that's really not at the caliber of what they should be to be in the playoffs, but they're going to get a spot because they got hot early in the year and maybe one of the better teams that should be there.
There's routinely one, two, maybe three of those teams every year in Major League Baseball that starts off hot and falls flat on their face back to reality. That's a legitimate concern. And if you're talking about expanding the playoffs as well.
But see, think about this. The Washington Nationals last year were 19-31. They started off the season 19-31.
Yep.
No way that you're making the playoffs if you have that start, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because of this season, the team that eventually won the championship last year and won it in a very impressive fashion to come here in Houston and win four games on the road, that team deserved to be the champion. That team wouldn't even have the opportunity to try to be the champion based off of the 60-game schedule. So, you know, the NBA, legit championship. MLB, I could see somebody putting the asterisk and say, well, this is not all the way real.
But if A.J. Hinch doesn't pull Zach Greinke, or if he does but brings Garrett Cole's ass in from the bullpen, then I'd feel even better about that potential championship for the Astros because of everything that you just said for the Washington Nationals, because they had come from the depths of hell and being one of the worst teams in baseball at 19-31 at that point in time last season to becoming one of the hottest teams in baseball, and you still finding some way somehow to beat that team on the road and at home in a 7-game series. That would have been really special in a back-to-back scenario for the Astros as well. But, you know.
Do you want A.J. back?
I'm not bitter at all.
do you want A.J. back? Because it doesn't sound like you would want him back if you had the opportunity for him to come back.
He's not perfect. He'd made, you know, countless mistakes prior to that. But great ball players, mask those mistakes by managers and coaches and certain decisions by people in the front office all the time. Every year it happens. No matter if you're a good team or a poor team, it happens. You forget about that stuff. You move on. I really like Dusty Baker.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, A.J. Hinch was a guy in a role at his age, at the peak of his managerial career, with the respect, I think, that to some degree, now that we know that he didn't think he even commanded that much respect.
Right.
I will say from a baseball point of view, commanded a lot of respect in how he managed a club. You don't find that all the time. Would I want him back? I mean, that's a very difficult situation. Ultimately, I say I don't think you can do it. I would want to do it because I don't want there ever to be a shadow of a doubt that is directly connected to what they've already been accused and found guilty of in cheating to ever come back again.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a shadow of a doubt because everybody thinks everybody cheats at all times. But when you bring one of the sources of it back, I don't want that lingering. I mean, I enjoy, you know, the back and forth bickering and, you know, bleep talking as much as anybody between teams. I just don't want that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's understandable. But I would say this about A.J. Hinch.
Need to move on.
I mean, he's the type of guy that if you brought him back, I think he could do – I think he can work wonders with the Astros. I think he learned a huge lesson from everything that went down, and I think he would swing a bigger stick when he came back.
I wouldn't discount that, but I just wonder how fractured that relationship has become between Hinch and his players. You know, after everything that has gone down And look,
you think the players have ill will towards AJ Hinch? I would think the opposite.
From everything that has been publicized, there's no reason to think that.
Right.
But I also am one to believe that you, me, everybody out there listening, fans, media, you don't know half of it. You don't know half of what was done, what was said, how it went down. There is a real reason why AJ Hinch felt it not unnecessary, but impossible to stop this. And that, I don't know what that reason is.
Yeah.
And so for that and that alone right now, what I have to go off on, because I got to read between the lines here, I think it's a fair question. Is that relationship, FUBAR at this point? You know, is it irreparable? And I think it's really a question, Wade, that we will never have the answer to and never need the answer to, because I don't think it'll ever happen. I think Dusty Baker's the guy going forward until...
Well, I mean, Dusty, he's going to be one and done. The Astros messing around and win the World Series this year. He's going to retire, and you're going to need a manager.
You think so?
Yeah. If the Astros win it this year, he has no reason to do that second year. He's going to retire and go off in the sunset.
I mean, because I know he was already in the sunset anyway, but a guy who's been around baseball for 40, 50 years misses it. And there's a reason why he took it, you know?
I mean.
And if you win and you have a similar squad coming back with JV in the final year of his contract and Grinke in the final year of his contract and, you know, maybe they'd re-sign Springer at that point in time, and you've got a great team in front of you. I mean, what competitor out there, especially in baseball, isn't saying, hell, we can't do this again? No, it's like we can run this thing back.
What's the guy's name in Chicago? I don't even like to say his name.
The manager?
No, not Chicago Bulls.
Oh, the Bulls.
Reinsdorf
from the last answer.
Yeah. What's the GM's name? Can't think of his name right now for some reason.
Oh, Jerry Krause.
Jerry Krause. They should have ran it back. He didn't run it back.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, yeah. They'd won six, and he didn't run it back because
management. And can a guy like Jeremy Click afford to make that kind of a brash decision, you know, going forward?
Yeah, I wouldn't think he would.
And how influenced would he be by Jim Crane?
That's a big deal. But I think Jim Crane, AJ Hinch coming back here to me would make a lot of sense. It's probably not going to happen. You're right. But if Dusty Baker wins a World Series this year, I think he's going to be done. I think after everything that went down with the coronavirus, like he came in and expected it to be one way. It's a one plus one deal. And he thought the one was going to be a certain way. He's going to right the ship and try to get him to the World Series. And I always assumed he was going to walk off and ride off into the sunset. And so with everything that's going on, they win in this abbreviated season, and he gets this championship, I think he'll be done. And the Astros will need a manager at that point, and they got somebody that's sitting right up the road that can do the job and has done it at a very, very high level for a long time in the organization.
I can't disagree with you. I just wonder how well that would be received, and I guess we'll have to wait and see, because it will certainly continue to be talked about until another one, is made beyond Dusty Baker. Sean Bajani and Wade Smith in for Clint Starner and the show. Coming up next, football at 4. Stay there at Sports Radio 610.